Our New Testament reading this morning is from the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. Hear now the word of our Lord. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love for one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be, are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And this is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We read from Ezekiel, and the prophet tells the people to turn away from evil and live. And we read from Psalms, and the psalmist pleads for God to teach him the way to live. And in Romans, the apostle Paul teaches us to love. And through love, we fulfill the scriptures. The message is the same. It's always been the same. The message of our Lord and Savior does not change. Love one another as you love yourself. By now, most of you know by heart how I define loving one another as you love yourself. Don't you remember we've talked about how we love ourselves? Many people will think instantly when you say that, I don't love myself very much. I don't think I'm particularly lovable. And when you do so, you deny God, who says he loves you. We deny Christ, who gave his life because he loves you. We deny all of Scripture that says that God loves you so much that he gave his only Son, so that you might live. But how do you love yourself? Of course, you love yourself by providing for yourself those things that you need. We love ourselves by making sure that we have food to eat, clothing to protect us, shelter to dwell in. We love ourselves by seeking out nurture when things are not going well, when we have needs. And of course, this is what Christ is saying when he says, love one another as you love yourself, to do those things. It's not a romantic love, but an agape love. An agape passionately caring about people for you. It's not a matter of simply doing your duty. Doing one's duty is not love. doing, providing for one another because God has provided for you is love. Not out of guilt, not out of duty, not even out of fear, but doing it out of a passion to give to the Lord. Don't you know that Jesus told us that whenever we visit someone in prison, when we feed someone who's hungry, when we clothe someone who's naked, when we serve one another, we are serving Him. Service was so important to our Savior that one of the last things He did before He went to meet His death was He got down on His knees and washed His disciples' feet, teaching them to serve one another. Out of love. He served them out of love. He didn't serve them out of duty. The Lord, our God, had no duty to wash His disciples' feet. The Lord, our God, had no guilt driving Him to wash His disciples' feet. The Lord, our God, had no fear driving Him to wash His disciples' feet. He did it out of love. And so we are to love one another because we love God. The message doesn't change. Sometimes I wish the message would change because I can't seem to get it right. Sometimes I wish God would adapt to me. But that doesn't happen, does it? I have to adapt to God. I have to walk in God's way. God will never walk in my ways. Thank God. This is everyday life. This is everyday Christianity. This isn't the stuff that we think about when we think of mission work. This isn't the stuff that we think about when we think of ceremonial religion. This is everyday Christianity. Loving one another as you love yourself. But of course, you can't love one another unless you place their needs before yourself. And so carrying on with that same original thought, one of the things that Jesus told you to do is to love one another as you love yourself. And how do you love yourself? Well, my nature is selfishness. My nature is to look out for my needs first. So when He tells us to love one another as we love ourselves, He's telling us that we have to put others' needs first. Don't you know that's sacrifice? Sacrifice is not giving some of your excess. Sacrifice is not sharing that which you have no need of. Sacrifice is not what we do when we donate to a rummage sale, those things that we really want to get out of the house. Sacrifice is taking one of those things that we would rather keep for ourselves and giving it to someone who has need. Sacrifice is giving money out of our pocket that means that we won't have something we would like to have. Sacrifice is giving your time to your neighbor, leaving less time to do what you want to do. It doesn't mean that there isn't joy in this. There is. Sacrifice is not long suffering. Sacrifice is doing these things and receiving the blessing of Jesus Christ, receiving the blessings of the Holy Spirit, receiving the encouragement and the joy that comes from giving that which you would rather keep for yourself. But sacrifice is not giving the excess, the unneeded, the unwanted, the unworthy. In the Old Testament, when they were to sacrifice an animal, they were to sacrifice the best of the best, the unblemished, the one that they could sell for a great price, the one that they would keep to celebrate with their family. And it didn't really matter whether they were wealthy and could afford a lamb or a cow, or they could simply afford a pigeon or a dove. It was the best that they had, the best they could give. Don't you remember Jesus talking about the lady who gave the two mites that she had? It was all that she had. And how much greater that was than the man who stood up in front of the synagogue and with great showmanship gave of his riches a little of his extra. Now, sacrifice is giving that which we would like to keep for ourselves. So part of loving one another as you love yourself is being selfish for your neighbor, being selfish for other people, being selfish for the person that you don't know well but has need. It's to give up our own personal selfish and look out for the other person as though it were ourselves. Loving one another as we love ourselves is not easy, at least at first. It's not natural. You would not do it if it were not for the love of Jesus Christ. You would not do it if it were not for the Holy Spirit urging you to do so. You would not do it of your own nature. It's unnatural. The Holy Spirit is supernatural. You don't have to seek occult and witchcraft and those things to experience the supernatural. The Holy Spirit is supernatural. It's above nature. And we act outside of nature when we are moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit calls you to be an everyday Christian. Not a Sunday Christian, not a Sunday sitting in the pew Sunday, because that's what I always do, and that's what my father did, my grandfather and my great-grandfather, that's what they did before me. Everyday Christianity is a changed life. And it's giving to one another that you would rather keep, the time that you cannot spare, the change that you need, the gift that you would rather give to somebody who would be impressed by it into somebody who simply has need of it. That's everyday Christianity. Everyday Christianity is living intentionally for Jesus Christ. Paul taught us, said, to love is to keep the commandments. And we know when Paul started talking about this in the book of Romans, he started off with some things to set up the context so that we could understand it. And he said, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not murder. So he told us that part of love is not doing harm to your neighbor. Part of love is catching that word before it leaves your mouth. It's pausing. It's not doing harm. It's not making that snide remark, that snapback, that quick response that we tend to want to make. My Lord, I have a struggle with that. It is so hard to hold back those words. I so enjoy making a quick, clever, sometimes cutting response that is hard to resist. And yet we must pause. We must stop and think and do no harm to our neighbor, because that's love. We don't harm those we love. So part of it is doing no harm. The do nots in the New Testament. I mean in the commandments are doing no harm. So if we love, we will do no harm. But there's more to it than that. There's a, not just the negative side of not doing the negative, but also doing the positive. Love your God, love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. There are positives. Love one another as you love yourself. So it's not simply not speaking those words which hurt. Not saying those things which you may feel well justified in saying, but will harm and hurt. But it's also doing the positive thing. Sometimes people need food, shelter, clothing. But sometimes you need nurture. And so how do we love? We love by giving that which we would rather keep for ourselves. That's what we need. That which we understand because we have the same needs ourselves. We nurture. Sometimes we serve by listening. Listening purposefully. Listening intently. Listening without distraction. And that is love. Because when we listen without distraction, we are denying ourselves of the ability to tell that person the thing that we would really rather be telling them at the moment that we are listening, because we would really be rather telling them how that happened to us and it was so much worse when it happened to us and they have no idea how bad it could really be. But that's not what we're to do. We're to give that which we would rather have for ourselves, so we listen. Because that's sacrifice. There's no sacrifice in telling somebody how your pain was much greater than their pain. There's no sacrifice in telling somebody how your experience was so much worse than their experience. There's no sacrifice in telling somebody how you successfully overcame that thing that they are struggling with. Unless you do it in the form of a testimony, citing the Holy Spirit as your deliverer. But other than that, we are to listen and sacrifice our time, sacrifice our ability to tell them how good we did with this circumstance. Listening is a very, very important ministry. Some of you have told me that you don't care to pray out loud. Some of you have told me that you don't care to speak in front of groups and crowds. But all of us can listen. All of us can hear and have compassion and sacrifice our time and our energy and our own desires to speak for another. Paul explained in Romans that if we love one another, we will break none of the commandments. If we love one another, we won't steal. If we love one another, we won't lie. If we love one another, we won't covet what they have because we're putting them before ourselves. If we love one another, we won't commit adultery. If we love one another, we will not break any of the commandments. And if we love one another, we will surely love God and no other God. And He'll love Him with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul. Paul spends quite a bit of time on this. Paul also talked at the very beginning, and he said, let no debt remain outstanding. And I'll go back to that, because obviously when everybody reads that, they think of the people who says, incur absolutely no debt, having any debt is a sin. That's not what Paul said. He said, don't leave it outstanding, pay it. Pay what you owe. Paul didn't say, and nowhere in the Bible does it say, that you can never borrow. What it's talking about is not paying your debts. Not living up to your obligations. In the chapter, in the verses preceding these verses, to give you context, it talks about how we are to obey authority, that says that all leaders of government are appointed by God and we are to obey them. And it goes through that and talks about our responsibility as citizens to obey the laws and to be respectful of authority. And then it goes in and it tells us to leave no debt outstanding. But Paul tells us to leave no debt outstanding for a very important reason. Because he said there's one debt that you will always leave outstanding, that you will never repay. And that is the debt that you owe to Jesus Christ. You cannot do works to overcome that debt. You can't serve in the church. You can't wash people's feet. You can't serve one another or even love one another enough to ever pay that debt. But Paul says that you are to continually do so. You are to continually pay back that debt that you will never pay back for the rest of your life. You are to continue to pay this debt back that can never be fully repaid. Why can't it ever be fully repaid? Well, I don't know. How much is salvation worth to you? How much is eternal life worth to you? How much is eternal life living with Jesus Christ, our Savior, worth to you? Of course, we can never pay that back. We can never become up even Stephen. We certainly can never have God owing us because of what we've done and being able to call in a demand note because we have served so well and now, God, this is what I expect of you. What Paul is saying, no, you can't do that. He's saying this is a debt that can never be repaid, but that you should repay continuously. And how do we repay it? We repay God by loving the people that He loves. We repay God by loving one another as we love ourselves. But understood in that, you are also to love yourself. Because God loves you. And you are worthy in God's eyes. And God died on the cross so that you can live. And so you're also to love yourself. Sounds like a plan, doesn't it? Jesus Christ did die on the cross for us. And as we celebrate communion in a few minutes, we will remember what He did for us. But not only will we remember in the Lord's Supper the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us, we also will remember that He did it out of love. And we call it communion for a purpose. It's because we seek the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This isn't something that we do. This is something that Christ has done for us. So as we remember what Christ has done for us, as He demonstrated washing their feet and sharing the Lord's Supper with them, we remember the example that Christ gave us. That we give with that, that we give that which we would rather keep for ourselves, whether it be time or money, or simply listening. And we do it knowing that we're doing it through the love and through the support of the Holy Spirit. Amen.